ladies and gentlemen.
Strength and assured success.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show is going to ensure we're very lucky indeed to still have our fabulous guests, the Sword Lows, and Dr. Sam Osmanagat. I have to keep that written down. It'll sink in eventually, Sam. Anyway, welcome back.
Yeah, what I'd like to continue with is a little bit of the discussion we had in the break, because we were talking about perhaps the pyramids were at one time underwater. And Dr. Sam, what I would like to ask you is that we have been told that there are pyramids on the bottom of the Great Lakes here in the North American continent. Have you heard of such things, or has your research brought this to your attention in any way?
Now, you are going to tell me more about that pyramid under the Great Lake. What I do know is that we do have pyramidal structure, like in the shape of the step pyramids, on the bottom of the Pacific floor, namely between the islands of Yonaguni in Japan and Taiwan and China, mainland China. 13 underwater cities have been discovered in the last 15 years. They are at the depth from 100 to 250 feet. Obviously, at one point in time, they were on the surface. So when was the last time when the Pacific Ocean rose for 200 feet, 50 feet? It was 12,500 years ago, with the end of the last ice age. A huge quantities of ice melted from the Northern Asia, Europe, and North America. That water got in the seas and the oceans, and the water level rose. So, Pacific Ocean, at the bottom over there, is one such place. Another one, Caribbean, around the island of Cuba, a lot of underwater pyramids. Unfortunately, the government there, for the longest time, has not let anyone, you know, investigate those. We are hoping that in the near future, we should be able to learn more about them. And of course, in the middle of the Atlantic, I think the time will show that we have some pyramids there on bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, tell me about those pyramids in the Great Lakes.
Well, actually, there is a pyramids formed in lakes underneath Michigan and also in Wisconsin that have been verified by scientists. You can actually dive down in these lakes and see the pyramids where they were once above sea level. And in fact, in the northern part of Michigan, there are copper mines that are over 5,000 years old and are so deep and deeply excavated that we don't even have the technology today to replicate those mines. And so my opinion is that, and apparently there's been over 1 billion tons of copper removed, and nobody knows where it is. So it's my opinion that, and I don't know how this fits into your theories, but you mentioned 12,000 years ago. I believe that there were continents in the Atlantic and the Pacific that through some cataclysm did sink to what became the oceans, and that these pyramids are remnants of the civilizations that existed, and perhaps the survivors of those civilizations went to places like Bosnia and China and India, etc., to build replications of their cities and with their technologies. And so perhaps that is what we're finding now, or you are finding in Bosnia and in other places.
Well, you're right about the copper. We know that in Michigan, probably about 5 to 7 million tons of copper were removed. Probably over 7,000 years ago, 7,000 plus years ago. Now, we cannot find such a huge quantity of copper tools or artifacts or anything in the surrounding areas. Very little. I mean, it's so minor that it's insignificant. Where did the copper go? So that's a very good question. It's who had the technology to, you know, produce so much best quality copper, and who knew that the copper there is 99.99% clean? I mean, amazing.
That's right, right.
And also, what's interesting too here in Michigan is actually in some of our local museums, They actually say that the copper mines were over 80 stories underground. And they say that there's no way that they today can create anything 80 stories underground safely. And in fact, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, people up there say that the ground still shakes, and they say that is because of the instability left over because of all the copper that was taken out of these mines.
So a lot of questions to be answered. Now, there is another one I'd like to bring up. In the southwestern parts of the state of Illinois, there are 200 Cahokia pyramids. And when I was there, I spoke to the main archaeologists, and unfortunately, whatever they teach us about those pyramids is wrong. First of all, they call the city the Sun City. We don't know its real name. They call this park Cahokia State Park. Cahokia are the minor Indian tribe from the 17th century, and the pyramids were built much, much before that. Then they call those pyramids mounds. Now, mounds is really underestimation. Mounds were built from the soil, but these are the structures. You can see four different types of materials, sandstone blocks, pebbles, sand, and what they would do in order to cover the pyramids, they would cut the grass with the soil, they would cut the squares, they would place them upside down on the pyramid, and imagine what? In order to build the biggest one, which they called Monk's Mound, they used the equivalent of 226,000 trucks of material, 20 tons trucks and trailers. 226,000, that's a huge. Plus, they built 200 pyramids, not one. And instead of expecting the American scientific community and all archaeologists from the U.S. go there to figure out how they build them, what was the purpose, they don't even touch them. They were telling them they cannot get the permits, it's very expensive, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's amazing. We have such a valuable thing on the U.S. soil, and we do nothing about it. My son in Houston never learned a word about it in his history books. That's a shame. I mean, just because it does not belong to the white European settlers doesn't mean that it is not valuable. It is very valuable. Now, you see, all 200 pyramids are oriented towards the north, the cosmic north, all by one. The biggest
one. When you say yes. The cosmic north, you mean that it's not magnetic north?
Not exactly. It's a northern star. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I said all by one, and the biggest one is oriented towards the magnetic north. Now, some people know that the cosmic north is fixed, but the magnetic north moves. Now it moves about 25 miles every year between Canada and Siberia.
No, that's not true. It's just been updated. It's now moving 40 miles a year.
Well, it was 42 kilometers, the last thing I read. But
42 kilometers, sorry. Yeah, that was the one.
About 25 miles. My
bad.
Yeah, 1,000 years, it was moving like 6 miles a year. Of course, what we do, the great damage we do to the planet, that's the reason why, it's acting so hectically. But the point is, those who knew the difference between the cosmic north and magnetic north were not Indian tribes. They were very advanced civilizations. Those who were using hundreds of thousands of trucks of material, they were not primitive Indian tribes. Like they suggest us at the museum, at the site, they are saying it was built by the tribes. The tribe does not have a social organization or engineering skills or the knowledge to build something like that.
Yeah, I think what's so amazing is amongst all the work that you're doing, you are really saying scientifically about all the history that is hidden right in front of us. And as you're saying, the frustration that it must be for people like yourself to be able to have permission to bring this to the public, because it's right here, we want it, we crave it, but yet it's being hidden in front of us and people are accepting that blindly.
Well, you're right. But, our destiny is in our hands. We change ourselves, we start changing our environment. We start bringing all the stuff independently. Then, you know, people will start accepting it. If it is based, you mentioned scientifically based, and of course I'm much more open, not just the mainstream science, and but my coordinates are not so narrow. Of course, we have to apply all our knowledge that we have in order to understand those ancient structures and so much to learn from the ancients. So much knowledge, you know, has been forgotten. Like in our case, let's say in the case of Bosnian pyramids, you know, the concrete that covers the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is 2 to 3 times of better quality than our modern concretes in 21st century. And it's measurable. You know, we make concrete which is in the range from 10 to 40 megapascals. That's the hardness. And this concrete on the Sun Pyramid is from 67 to 134 megapascals. I mean, you can see that people in the past, hey, they had a better knowledge of those natural materials, how to put it together. And, you know, they applied certain formulas that we lost over the time. So much to learn from the past. And much of that knowledge we can apply in our present in order to avoid what we do to Mother Nature and to our Mother Earth.
Well, it's a lot like I always say, in the end, everything goes back to the beginning.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you this question, and it's kind of an odd question, but do you feel that all of this technology information that these ancient people had, could it possibly have come from other worlds that were brought here and taught to these people, or perhaps the people themselves were brought here from elsewhere?
Of course it could. It's an option. We have to consider it. And if we think that we are alone in the universe, then there is something seriously wrong with us.
Exactly. I mean, there's Transformers on the moon after all.
Well, you know, what even crosses my mind as well is I kind of posed it a little bit earlier, but you're talking about the people who closed up these tunnels. Perhaps the builders at some point recognized that there was going to be some kind of catastrophe or whatever, and they are the ones that the actual builders perhaps closed them up, and perhaps they went off world and left it so that they would not be abused by people who didn't know what they were doing. I mean, there's so many things, places where your mind can go with the possibilities.
Well, you know, I think that if you're talking about like an ancient culture that's at a point where it's understanding that it's nearing its end, because of their technology, perhaps they would try to leave warnings for their descendants. Is there any form of warning that these old buried pyramids have for the human race today?
Well, you see, we in 21st century and the last century also, we were able to go through the hypnotic regressions to the previous times, to the previous lives. Of course, we can do the opposite. We can do the hypnotic progression, and we can go and visit the future. Of course, if we can do that, the people who are the human beings or the beings who were much more spiritually advanced than us, they could achieve that much more easily. And they could, you know, go through the time, past and the future. So they were able to see, you know, what's going to happen and if it makes sense to make this technology available to beings like us. I mean, the history of humankind in the last 8,000 years is the history of wars. We've had 15,000 wars. The last 150 years is the history of exponential.
A little bit of an interference in the background there.
Which is fine. We like that. So in the last 150 years... you know, we went from 1.5 billion people on this planet to 7 billion people as we have them today. So what we do, we don't have a strategy. Our demographic is catastrophic. And in last 150 years, we managed to remove 50% of all animals and plants from this planet just to, you know, make sure that we have enough food. So obviously there is something seriously wrong with us. So who would give such a powerful energy sources in our hands? We are still not there. We are not mature enough.
Well, that's very interesting. Go ahead.
If we're not mature enough, does that mean the cultures, that they felt that the human race needed to be shepherded under them as children who needed to be commanded and instructed?
Yes, there are lots to learn for us. And then it's really up to us. I mean, there is nobody that should help us. Probably there is something who's been helping us, guiding us. But, you know, 7,000 years, when Sumer started, Sumerians were like the first advanced civilization in this cycle. What we could see was that they did not start from the beginning. There was no, like, evolutionary way for them. But they simply started from very high point. I mean, they had everything, the political regime, the, you know, the law, the economy, astronomy, math. Like somebody brought the knowledge from the outside and told them, hey, this is the way you are going to organize your society, and let's see what you're going to do with that. And somebody left. And what's been happening ever since, 7,000, 6,000, 5,000 years, I mean, this state simply collapsed, because without the guidance, they were not able, you know, to stay on the top. I mean, 7,000 years ago.
And we'll have to be talking about this 7,000 years after the break. And we'll be, I'm not sure the break will take 7,000 years, but almost as long. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Jammin'. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're jamming a big ancient key into a crusty old stone lock and making a giant pyramid turn into some description of massive spacecraft that's going to fly off and, I don't know, start some description of alien colony somewhere else. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And I wanted to know what your perspective was, Dr. Sam Osmanagic from Bosnia, who's discovered this recent massive freaking pyramid. What do you make of a lot of these new movies? Like, there's these Transformers movies and whatnot, where they talk about the pyramids being this giant energy harvester that they shoot at the sun in order to extract a particular form of energy. And in the new one, apparently there's some form of ancient culture living on the moon, and all of this kind of stuff, and our whole civilization was all started by ancient robots and this kind of stuff. Is there any plausibility to that type of Hollywood fanciful idea?
I'm not sure about the robots, but I think as far as the energy, they are coming to some senses now. Yes.
Well, that's very interesting there. So they're putting this stuff out in the movies here for everybody kind of to see. And I don't know, there's been a lot of talk recently about some forms of alien disclosure, and the UN has appointed their alien ambassador. So if somebody comes to Earth in some giant golden chariot from the sky spinning around a giant disc and says, take me to your leader, they're going to show her this little astrophysicist chick from Malaysia. And she'll speak on behalf of the UN for all of humanity. How about them apples? And apparently there's just been a massive light show and stuff above London. I think this happened a couple of hours ago or a day ago or something like that. there's a whole bunch of really interesting things being discovered and lots of interesting occurrences going on at this particular point in time. Not to mention this new Transformers movie, which I saw last night, The Dark of the Moon, was released on a new moon here in New Zealand on the exact day. I'm sure that was just a coincidence, though.
You know, I'm curious, Dr. Osmanagic, about how you actually found the tunnels system itself, because looking on the map that I have in your book, it looks like it's quite a ways from the Pyramid of the Sun. How exactly did you discover where those tunnels began? How did you know where to dig?
With the help of the Transformers.
Well, absolutely. You know, it was Shovelotron.
When I first came to Visoko in central Bosnia, discovered the first two pyramids. Based on my experience with the Egyptian pyramids, Mexican and Chinese, I knew that the underground tunnels have to be somewhere. You know, in Egypt, in Saqqara, under one pyramid, the Step Pyramid in Saqqara, there is a huge underground labyrinth, about 6 miles radius. The tunnels are under Giza pyramids, the tunnels are under Chinese or Mexican pyramids. So I said, we have to find the underground labyrinth under the Bosnian pyramids, and I wrote that in my first book about the discovery of Bosnian pyramids. And of course, you know, the cultural, educational establishment attacked me. They were saying, oh, what he's talking about? It's impossible. What kind of network of tunnels? Well, I spoke to a lot of locals, and especially kids, asking them, are there any caves, any tunnels, things like that. So I was checking different places. So I finally found this entrance to what's now called the underground labyrinth Ravne. And it was very narrow. It was about a couple of feet. So, you know, you had to crawl until, you know, you get inside, and it's about 60, 70 feet long, very narrow tunnel. But when I saw the ceiling, which was half-circled, I said, well, this is artificially made tunnel. We started cleaning it, putting the wooden support, and as we were, you know, enlarging it, then we found the wall to the left, another wall to the right, and we found the tunnel to the left, to the right, and then we discovered the huge network of tunnels. So, you know, it was rather slow process, but then the discovery was there, and now we know that the huge network is there. What we cleaned so far, what you saw the other day, was probably about 2 to 3% of the huge labyrinth. So,
how,
you know,
how far is that? Do you estimate from the Pyramid of the Sun?
From the entrance to the pyramid is a little bit less than 2 miles. So it's approximately 1.8 miles. And so far, we have cleaned and secured about 600 yards, which is about 20% of the way from the entrance of the pyramid. So if we continue this space and we have to remove all this, you know, fill up material, it will take us maybe another 15 to 20 years to get under the pyramid. But don't forget, sometimes archaeology is very slow. You have to be very patient. Maybe eventually we're going to find some, you know, three empty sections, empty from this fill-up material, and we're going to go proceed, you know, much quicker. So I'm hoping to see such development. But even if we have to wait 20 years, I mean, you know, like a Chinese proverb says, I mean, the road of 1,000 miles starts with the first few steps, and that's what we've been doing.
I have a strong feeling that exactly what you said is going to happen. I do believe that there are open tunnels under there that you will find and will get you into that pyramid much, much faster. And I also believe that with the worldwide interest, that one way or another with your team of volunteers that you're pulling together and with the mind pattern that you have and the attitude, that you will continue to see your discovery be opened up to the world, because what you're doing is so important, it cannot not happen.
Have you experienced any kind of, I don't know, archaeological industry type sabotage to the project trying to unearth this pyramid?
Well, nobody talked to me directly, but they were trying to, you know, remove some of my associates. a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of work behind the scene when it comes to the permits, money, boycott in media, and our way to UNESCO to help us. So we can see that on all four fronts, there are some very strong and powerful dark forces working against us. But you know, there are some other forces. So, you know, we continue to do what we've been doing, and I'm sure we are going to be successful in the future also. And with those words, you know, I would like to thank you guys for having me on your show. It was really a pleasure. And I was glad to see, you know, you over there in Bosnia, I invite all others to come there. And I'll be really happy to talk to you guys again in the near future.
Thank you, Dr. Sen. We so appreciate you taking the time that late at night in Bosnia to speak with us. And we do hope we'll speak to you again in the near future on the show.
All right. Good luck and God bless.
Thank you. Good night.
Now, before you go, Dr. Sam, would you be able to, do you have a website where people would be able to see some videos or hear some more interviews or have a look at some of the research that you've done on this project? Go ahead and plug away.
Yeah, the easiest way is just to, you know, search under the Bosnian pyramids. Our official website is BosnianPyramidOfTheSun.com, BosnianPyramidOfTheSun.com, and they can check our daily news and, you know, what we do there, a lot of video clips, the volunteers, the new, you know, discoveries, but also on the YouTube, it's a lot of material there. Okay, good luck. Bye-bye then.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Sam Osmanagic, and I believe that we still have about 7 minutes left in the segment or so, and we're trying to bring up Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz for the remainder of the show, but as I understand it, Stuart and Janet, you in fact have yourselves an important conference to get to, so we can say goodbye to ye too.
Yes, thank you. We're already half hour late, but it was worth it.
Yeah, we're so happy that we've had a chance to visit and bring this information out to people. And we plan to bring his books and DVDs to our audience through our website in the very near future. So I want to thank everyone. Please visit our site, expansions.com. It was a pleasure, Vinny. And please say hello to Lenny and Sherry for us.
All right, fantastic. And we'll have you guys on every Friday first hour right here on the Vinny Eastwood Show for the Attention Planet Earth Going Ape section. And Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz usually joining us in for second hour, but they're actually a little bit late today, but it doesn't worry. But anyway, Swerdlows, thank you very, very freaking much for turning up and being so fabulous and drawing in a marvelous guest with an incredible story of some freaking gigantic pyramid that's under a whole bunch of feet of soil in the middle of freaking Bosnia, of all places. Yeah, I did not see that one coming, although I'm not surprised.
Well, it's our pleasure to freak you out.
Yeah. And Bosnia is an amazingly beautiful country. You're just so incredible there.
Yep, I'm sure. One of my friends, a rapper called Genocide, he's from Bosnia, and he has some interesting memories of his town getting shot up during a mass genocide, that kind of thing. So That's something that happens when a lot of countries, especially Balkan states, they just kind of get demonized and placated as this sort of dangerous, warlike place in the movies. But, you know, the reality is most places in the world, even if they've had war there before or not, are just beautiful places full of beautiful people.
That's true. It's a beautiful country, and I do recommend that people go there and visit.
That's right. And you can book your tickets, ladies and gentlemen, to travelbosnia.com. And that's one of Slobodan Milosevic's former shell companies. But never mind. We all go. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, we'll leave you to your next guest. It was a pleasure again.
All right.
We must get on to ours.
All right. See you later, guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. There they go, the Swerd Lows. Well, you know, Fridays, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to get into, what's it called? Transformers 3. Janet Stewart, you can just press the little red hang up button on your Skype there now if you like. I went to see that last night, and spoiler alert for anybody who doesn't want to know, it was pretty freaking awesome, I gotta say. However, 3D glasses, and this is an interesting little mind control pattern thing we were talking about here in the chat room earlier, is that there's a heck of a lot of really scary aspects to the whole mind control techniques that get used on everybody. I mean, televisions were designed specifically so that you can't fully process the images with a fully conscious mind. And now we've got these 3D glasses. And I watched this movie in 3D. And it ruined it. Not because it wasn't really fantastic and absorbing, but because halfway through this 2.5 hour extravaganza of action and whatnot, your eyes started to hurt. And towards the very end of the movie, my eyes couldn't stop watering. And they couldn't stop watering for a good half hour afterwards. I mean, it just really, really hurts your eyes quite a lot. And I don't know. I think I'm resolving to like not see anything in 3D no more, man. It's just not worth it. The experience gets ruined by the fact that you're focusing on how much your eyes are in pain while you're watching the freaking film. You know, how upsetting is that? And goodness knows what kind of crap can be implanted in your brain if you can't perceive the freaking reality as it stands on the screen. Oh, goodness. I have no idea exactly how all this works, but I do know that my eyes still hurt a little bit from last night. That's not a good thing. I don't care what planet you're from, watching a film and then having your eyes hurt for ages afterwards is not pleasant. The film, however, focuses and centers around, as every single freaking film does, somebody who was posing as the savior of the Autobots, actually working with the enemy, who incidentally were also a whole bunch of rich guys, as their accountants, collectors, billionaires, etc., all working for the Decepticons, who treat the human race and call us insects. There is a very interesting thing when you watch Hollywood movies, when you know about conspiracy theories and ancient technologies and suppressed stuff and all of that kind of jazz. You know, it brings an extra element into movies, I believe. And usually we have Sherry Kane and Lynn Horowitz coming on the show here to give us a movie review once in a while. And we should be able to have them up after the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Back in a moment. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about gang stalking on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guests, Lenny Horowitz and Sherry Kane. My pet names for them are Robin Boy and Batgirl. And because
what happened to Horror Kane?
That's right, Horror Kane. Have you ever seen that movie, The Princess Bride, Lenny?
No.
Oh, it's great. There's this little sequence in it where he's got a little thing of poison powder, and he puts it in a wine goblet, and he says, "This is a test of wit. Which goblet is poisoned? You drink your goblet, and then we'll see who's standing at the end." And the guy switches the goblet when he's not looking, and he laughs at him, and he says, "Ah, ha, 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 we're all sweet as." And as he's laughing, he dies. and the and then the woman asks him, how is it that you knew that you didn't have the poisoned one? And he says they were both poisoned. And the powder that he used was called iocane powder. And it made me think of horrocane powder, you know, odorless, tasteless, and is one of the most deadly substances known to the pharmaceutical industry.
It is.
Very good.
That's an incredibly obscure connection, I'm sure. Maybe I'm just grafting and grasping at straws here. But tell us what gang stalking is, because as soon as I've started having you guys on the show here, each time we upload the YouTube videos, we get masses of attacks of people, you know, calling in Knights and Malta and, you know, Vinny, you've got to watch this. You need to not ally with those Zionist stooges. I mean, Lenny, are you a Zionist?
I mean, gang stalking is very serious. I mean, it happens to a lot of whistleblowers, all whistleblowers probably, and it escalates over time. They turn out blacklisting you. They try to silence you. And then they go into also trying to target your family, but not in the sense of maybe not threatening them, but actually influencing them.
Yeah, it's like group harassment. So there's a bunch of guys out there that now we have. Actually, Vinny, you may want to join. There's several of us. There's six of us now that are very likely to file a class action lawsuit against the perpetrators. And apparently the CIA COINTELPRO will be named in the suit. We'll name certain parties in the suit, but also you'll have John Doe's as defendants, along with the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI. But I do have to give credit. I want again, you always have us on Fridays, and we greatly appreciate it. It's an honor for us to join you. And there's always something new happening in our lives. I want you to know, I want people out there to know, for the first time in the last, 10 weeks, when we've been petitioning the FBI to kind of like wake up and give us a break and help out and at least give us a name of somebody on the inside that's actually investigating these matters. We actually got a call the other day and this morning had a discussion with, I'm not going to mention the name of the agent, but hallelujah, there is apparently a nice guy within the FBI who understands what we're going through and has been assigned to investigate the persecution that we, as well as the others in this group of six, have been facing. So again, you know, it's, I said immediately to him, you've got to have internal affairs involved, because there's obviously agents that were at least one time associated with FBI, and that it's appropriate to have somebody in internal affairs be engaged in the investigation. So that's the breaking news here on Friday, July 1st. Happy July 4th, and happy, I don't know, I guess you guys celebrate in New Zealand your 4th of July? I don't think so, huh?
No. In fact, there's probably an awful lot of real American-hating commies out there that are, like, burning U.S. flags as we speak. No, I'm just joking. It's... what do you think, Lenny, when we get to a point you're fighting and you're trying to save people's lives by getting them out information that they need, doing the research that the mainstream media is not doing, and instead of saying, hey, thanks, man, thank you very much. I mean, a lot of people do say that, but other people, they sort of decide that nitpicking and abusing you and using really vile language and being aggressive when they don't even know you and have never talked to you before in their lives is the best way to go about it.
Yeah, I think that they seek to discredit first. I think that's their main objection is, I mean, a main actually agenda is to discredit people that are actually doing something to stir it up, to really get people to think, because the idea is the mainstream media doesn't want you to think. They want to manipulate your mind into believing and a certain biased viewpoint. And then if you don't believe that, then you're considered a domestic terrorist, and people like that need to be watched, according to, you know, people within the rogue rogue parts of the government, rogue divisions of the government. So they send these criminals out, get out of jail card free criminals, which a lot of them are. Some of them are not. Some of them are even just CIA flunkies who.
Yeah, but that's it. They're not very smart
at
all.
They're not.
Most of these guys are really dumb. So that
CIA flunkies.
Yeah, flunkies. Yeah. And when you say that you have been attacked and emailed by people who use commonly four-letter words to express themselves, that shows you the mentality that they play to. And that sadly and sickly relates to their socioeconomic, political, and mental status. These guys are losers. And what they've been hired to do is target market to losers. And what they do is they generate within the losers' minds anti-American, anti-Illuminati, anti-Jew, anti-Christian, anti-Muslim, anti-everything. And that's how they shake it up, mix it up, divide the sheeple to conquer the flock.
That's how, I think you get kind of touched on something there that made me trigger a thought. They try to make people anti, 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 so that way they become really negative people to
exactly.
be around,
exactly.
and they achieve nothing positive.
And they they achieve something tremendously positive for the profiteers off of humanity's suffering. That's why we have a military state. They generate conflict, and they maintain the conflict through this COINTELPRO mind control, social engineering, conditioning. And that makes big money. And that's why, you know, Jesus said, you know, you can take a wise man and a rich man, and how do you get them through the eye of a needle? Well, you know, it's kind of hard if you've got the wisdom of Solomon to push a fat, you know, slob who's a greedy Illuminati character through the whole transition of changing into a loving being who's able to gift humanity instead of curse humanity. I mean, it's a psychosocial spiritual warfare, and this is the ground level, the grassroots level that you are talking about. When they email you and these guys, again, think about it. What do they do with their lives? I mean, is this their life? Are they making a living off of wasting their time hurling you four-letter words and defaming you?
Yeah, like
they talk about how I don't know, you're scum or you're trash or your opinion doesn't mean anything or you're a loser or whatever. And the fact of the matter is they don't actually get out there and do anything. It's one of my listeners came up with a very interesting term, keyboard warriors.
Yes,
exactly. That's part of the gang stalking, cyber gang stalking. That's what they, you know,
that's it.
They attack us and they do it and they don't know us. They really are just sent to destroy. And some of them may even think that they're doing good. They may have been told, according to when you read this gang stalking article that I just sent you, Vinny, you'll see that some of these people actually think they're doing good. They think that they were told that we're actually really bad people, or the people they're supposed to attack are enemies of the government. So we deserve to be attacked. And so they justify it. They say, well, why don't you respect us? We're military folks. You know, when you go against the government, you're not respecting the government. So you should be attacked. And that's a lot of their mindset.
That falls into his agenda.
I was going to say, Len, that it involves people who should know better.
Yes, you know? We should.
If somebody throws some crazy accusation or whatever, you don't parrot that accusation at people or whatever and abuse them about it. You go up to them and you ask them a question. Is it true? Okay, Lenny, here we go. Here's a few things to clear up. Is it true that you're a Knight of Malta? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, good. A second one. Is it true that you and Jerry had raucous demonic intercourse while live on air on some other radio show? Yes or no?
No, but it would have been.
seriously. This is how these conversations.
Vinny, have you heard? Have you listened to that tape that they?
I have.
Have you? I mean, did you see the woman sounded like? A cross between Tammy Faye Baker and Edith Bunker.
I I was gonna say it kind of sounded like Fran Drescher and Mick Jagger.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't the Hurricane, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it would be far more vigorous. But in either case,
far more vigorous. Thank you, Vinny. Very kind of you.
I mean, that's what Oxy Silver's good for, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they totally sounded like rednecks, and then they went on to some kind of these casting sites and found a picture of me dressed in like a cat suit, and that was it.
It is true that Sherry Caton was in the film.
We have another accusation. You're not actually human. You're in fact a shape-shifting, transforming refrigerator.
Yes, I can tell you that comes from one exclusive source.
What was his
name? Name is Clay Douglas. Clay Douglas is one of the most rabid Jew haters who I actually, in my naivete, supported in his American Freedom magazine.
We'll have to go. We'll be back.